If you can find your place in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. If you'll stand with me in reverence to the Word of God, I want to read two verses. I think you're familiar with the story of David and Goliath, and I could read the whole story, but for the sake of time this morning, I'm going to read two verses, and I think you'll pick up, see if you can pick up on something that's common in these two verses that I'm going to read. I never had seen this before. Let's read verse number 33 first. And Saul said to David, you remember Saul was the king. David had went down to the battlefield to visit with his brethren. His dad wanted him to take some food, some cheeses and things down there and check on them, get their pledge, see how it's going down at the battle. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine. What was that Philistine's name, young'uns? Y'all remember? What's his name? Holler at me. I can't hear you. Goliath. That's exactly right. He was a giant, over 9 feet tall. He was a big one. The Bible said, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Now, if you'll go over to verse number 42 with me, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. You remember what we preached about last Sunday, let no man despise thy youth. You remember that? Well, here's a man that despised or disdained David as he stood there looking at him. The Bible said, when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. What's the phrase that's common in those two verses of Scripture? Anybody see it? But a youth. But a youth. Bloomingdale's looking down and the world's looking around. And sadly, a lot of people in the church just say they're but a youth. God wants to speak to our hearts this morning on the subject. What can a youth do? Just one. What can a youth do for the glory of God? Brother Don, step here and pray for us, would you?
Our Father in heaven.
Thank you,
Lord. In Jesus' precious, wonderful name. Thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege to be a child of God.
Amen.
Privilege to have a friend who's taken closer than a brother. Thank you, dear Lord, for your love, the prayers you've answered, the needs you've met, the many times, Lord, you brought us through valleys to help us climb mountains. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus. You left his ivory palace home in glory. You come down here, take on us the sins of the whole world. Father, I pray today that thy will be done this service.
Amen.
Bless Brother Rick as he pastors this church. Oh, God, it's good news. When I heard he came here as pastor, I knew God could choose him. I pray, Lord, to use us until, Lord, you're done with us. Let us stay able to preach until you're done with us. And then, dear Lord, let us rest with you. I pray to bless your people here today. Have mercy on these precious young people. Oh, God, what a day they're living in. Lord, what they have to go through. God bless them, I pray. Help them to yield to the Lord Jesus. Their life will be wonderful.
Amen.
With the Lord.
That's it. Yes, Lord.
I pray, Lord, to bless every person here today. Meet the needs of every child of God. Help us to love you for all that you do for us. Bless Brother Rick this morning. Lord, I know your presence is here.
Amen.
Use him, Lord, in a special way. We'll honor you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' sweet name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, my dear brother. Amen. Love you, Brother Don. Amen. 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 I'm glad to be here this morning. Amen. Good to be saved, isn't it? Good to know the Lord. There's a lot we could say out of the chapter, but God is going to hone in on three things this morning. And I want to look at it together this morning and think about this subject. But a youth, but a youth. I guess I'd like to, Brother John, I don't know if there's a Sunday school lesson that could have went better with my opening here, what God put in my heart. Brother John was encouraging us not to look on the things which are seen, but to look on the things which are not seen. He said, for the things, the Bible said, the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The reason the phrase is used, but a youth, Brother Preston, is because Saul and that giant Goliath could only look on the things which were seen, which was just a fellow that's not a very big of stature, ruddy, his countenance, young. And they made the mistake of diminishing what God could do with a young person that would yield himself to the Lord. I want to say this morning, I believe that many churches are doing the same thing. That's why there would be a fight in many churches over whether or not to purchase vans and put gas in them, pay insurance on them, put tires on them, just to go out in the neighborhood and bring youngins to the house of God. I believe it'd be a bad mistake for Bible Way to ever diminish what God can do with a young person. I didn't know when this was going to come out, but I pretty well knew it was going to come out. But I was one of those children that was hauled to church on a, wasn't a van up there in Maryland, it was a school bus. There was a time, Brother Don, you remember when you could buy a school bus cheap. Most of them was wore out, and they had to have quite a bit of work done to them. But churches could buy them cheap. Matter of fact, after I got saved, I drove a school bus at Landmark Baptist Church and hauled children to the house of God. But I was one of those kids, and really all that you could see physically was a little boy that was freckle-faced. And when I was a kid, Brother Sam, I was made fun of because it took my head a long time to catch up with my ears. My ears were way out yonder in front of my head, amen. I mean, I looked like I could fly when I was 7 or 8 years old. I've told everybody there's a difference between cutting hair and shearing sheep, but Daddy didn't know what it was. Brother Houston, he learned to save some money. He got him a pair of clippers. He'd set them in there again, that scalp, and peel it off of there, amen. Save some money. That made my ears look even bigger, amen. I was made fun of as a kid. Oh, glory. But there was two adults, the Whiteleys, that loved me. Bring me a little piece of gum or a piece of candy on Saturday and say, we'll be by to pick you up in the morning. Ready to go. I wonder, when they were looking at a little freckle-faced boy, how many of you believe God was looking at a preacher? How many believes that nothing takes God by surprise? God knew when I was 27 years old, I'd yield my life to Him and swallow my pride for the first time in my life and admit that I was a sinner, standing in need of a Savior.
The Lord also knew that about 30 days after that, I would go down between two pews praying for America, broken for my country. Went down praying, come up preaching. Been preaching ever since. Two things thus far, it may change before the sun goes down, but two things I've never doubted. Number one, God saved me February 22nd, 1987. He saved my soul in an old-fashioned altar of prayer. When you sing, Sister Tanita, I've been to Calvary, thank God I've been to Calvary. Got saved by the grace of God. Another thing the devil's never made me be able to, never been able to make me doubt is that God put his hand on me down there between those two pews and said, boy, I want you to preach my gospel. And I didn't have no better sense than to surrender. All I'm trying to say is when you look at this, the Saul is looking at a man that says, a young man, you're but a youth. He's a man. He's a man of war from his youth. He gets out there in the valley with Goliath, and the word of God said that Goliath disdained him, for he was but a youth. What a mistake it would be to be in a church where the young people are diminished, where that we don't understand the importance of what God sees versus what man sees. They saw but a youth, and God saw a king. I said they saw but a youth, but God saw a king. I'm looking at a bunch of young men and young ladies this morning, and I see a bunch of young men and young ladies. How many believes we'd laugh this building shouting if we could see what God saw? God may see a pastor's wife sitting here this morning, or a missionary's wife sitting here this morning, or even in the young ladies, there are young ladies that have been missionaries and went around the world to tell others about Jesus. God may see a pastor. He may see an evangelist sitting here this morning. Brother John said, while we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. This morning I want to speak to our youth. And how many's praying already? Amen. That God will just use the service for his honor and for his glory. I believe there's three things that are going to be necessary if God is going to use our youth. And we need to look at it individually, one-on-one. Connor, you can't look at it for Matthew. Matthew, you can't look at it for Connor. But the first thing that God wants to say to us this morning is we need to put ourselves in a position where God can bless us. You say, preacher, what do you mean? First of all, look at the position in his faith. The Word of God said that David was a man after God's own heart. We're not even in a position to be used of God till we get saved and say yes to Jesus, amen, and trust Jesus to be our Savior. So David put himself in a position to be used of God because he put his faith in the God of heaven. Not only in his salvation, we'll see later, but also in his service. A lot of people in this world are young, and they're not looking up. All they're doing is looking around. I just now realized, Sister Tanita, how the song went with the Sunday school lesson. The only thing he bought was me. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He even borrowed a grave. It'd be a happy day in your life when you realize everything you have is borrowed. You didn't bring anything in, and you're not going to take anything out. You came in naked as a jaybird, and you're going out naked as a jaybird. Amen. Young people today, one of the things that's getting young people in trouble is They see what mom and dad have worked for all their life, and they think they ought to have it the first year of marriage. Help me. They don't realize that mom and dad didn't just twitch their nose and all of a sudden they owned a home. It was years and years of sweat and work. And I believe with all of my heart, the first thing we can do is put ourselves in a position. I look at David's position in his faith, but secondly, his position in his family. And I want every young person here to listen to me. David is where he is in this chapter because he was obedient to his father. Jesse said, Brother Steve, David, I want you to go down there. I want you to take these 10 cheeses. I want you to go down there at the battle. I know there's a war going on down there, the Philistines, and I want you to see how your brethren are doing. He didn't argue with his daddy. Say amen. We're living in a generation, beloved, listen, where that's not popular, but it's still right. If you want God's blessing, you say, well, I don't have a good dad or I don't have a good mom. You have the one God gave you and you ought to respect them. And if they're not right with God, you ought to pray for them. Amen. We're never going to win them to God by rebellion, but we can win them by prayer. And by being a good example. David is in the right position to be used of God. I want to give you something else that I think is very important. Last week I mentioned a statistic that 1,000 young people a day take their life. There's a reason for that. They have no purpose in their life. Our kids and our teenagers, they need a purpose. Well, the Bible said up here, David's brother Eliab in verse 28, he heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? He is diminishing David's presence on the battlefield. God deliver us from ever speaking to these young people in such a manner that it would be like we're putting them down. Hey, beloved, listen, I've read this chapter and the key to victory was standing right in front of Eliab. And he's putting him down. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me this morning. I can't emphasize it enough. David says here, he said, I know your pride. This is Eliab. I know the naughtiness of thine heart. Thou come down to see the battle. And verse number 29, David said this, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? Brother Kenny, you're driving the van today. Thank God for that. But maybe the next van driver's sitting here right now. Brother Grizzle, thank you for taking care of the missions, but maybe the next missions director is sitting here right now. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. No, I've not lost my mind. I'm telling you, beloved, what we see is one thing and what God sees is another thing. And God only knows what he could do with one young person that'll yield themselves to God and say, listen, there's a reason for me to be alive. There's a reason for me to serve God. I have a purpose in life. I'm not going to go out there, roll up my sleeves and stick needles in my arms because I have a reason to breathe, a reason to live, a reason to get up in the morning. I want to bring glory to my Lord. I want to do what God has bid me to do. Is there not a cause, a purpose? I believe that God had a purpose for David. Number one, among his brethren. I don't know, Brother John, if I've ever thought about this till just now. But Eliab, Brother Steve, is full of pride. You squirt. I'm just paraphrasing. That's the way he's talking to him. You little squirt. Who do you think you are coming down here to see the battle? I know your pride. By the way, beloved, listen, when you're accusing somebody else of something, 9 out of 10 times you're guilty of it. It was not David that was full of pride, but his older brother was full of pride. And what just crossed my mind as I came down from the pulpit, I wonder how Eliab felt when the giant fell on his face. And that squirt took his own sword and cut his head off. It's wrong to diminish a young person. It's right to say to these young people, yield yourself to God. You're saved by the grace of God. If you're not saved, get saved by the grace of God. And yield yourself to God and see what God will do with your life. When others saw but a youth, God saw a king. God is going to use this very event in David's life to raise him up in the eyes of the people. Is that right? Saul's going to get jealous. That's the way it is. I tell you, it's a happy day around the church when it doesn't matter who gets the credit as long as God gets the glory. That'll take care of jealousy. Long as God gets the glory. There was a purpose not only for David with his brethren, but there was a purpose for David in the battle. 40 days this giant has been coming down and defying the armies of Israel and the God of the armies of Israel. Send me a man. That's what he said. If I beat him, then y'all will be our servants. If he beats me, then we'll be your servants. I'm paraphrasing, but read the chapter. It's right there. Send me a man. Here comes David. Goliath isn't as much as saying, I said send me a man. Don't send me a dog. Don't send me a youth. Don't send me a little boy down here to fight. I'm going to tell you something right now. God can raise up prayer warriors right here. I'd like to be able to pray with the faith of a young'un. Somebody help me right there. Does anybody know what I just said? Reminds me, I don't know if you've heard the story about Josh and Jordan years ago, honey. Have you heard that story about prayer in the basement? Josh had pneumonia. Jordan and I were laying on the bed in the basement there at Mamaw and Papaw's, over there about far from here to the wall. And Jordan, I said to Jordan, we need to pray for Joshua. He's real sick. He said, you pray, Papaw. Jordan was 4 years old. Josh was 2. We didn't even move, Brother Steve. We didn't get up and kneel. We just closed our eyes laying there in the bed. And I said, oh, God. I mean, you could hear him wheezing, and I'm deaf across the basement. He had already been to the doctor, had to go back the next day. He was getting shots. He had pneumonia. He was very sick. He said, you pray, Papaw. So I prayed for Josh. And when I got through praying, you know how awkward Jordan is. But he jumped up off the bed like he was spring-loaded, like he was a jack-in-the-box. He just bounced up off the bed, ran across the basement, stood over his little brother and said, Joshy, you feel better? Amen. Brother Kenny, it absolutely broke my heart. I knew that I did not, Brother John, have the childlike faith that that little boy had when he ran across the basement. Papa's done prayed for you, and by now, you ought to be feeling better. Help us, Jesus. No wonder Jesus said, except you come as a little child, you'll in no wise enter in. By the way, that reminds me, Jesus never diminished the children. He said, suffer ye the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Oh, beloved friend, I'm not saying that at Bible Way we diminish the children. I'm saying let's be on guard that we never do that. But here's what I'm saying. Let's take the other side and realize what we can do to help them, what we can do to build them up, what we can do to see them used for the glory of God Almighty. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, I'm no prophet. I'm a preacher. But with all my heart, I believe God has got his hand on some of these youngins. And I believe if they'll serve God and they'll find that purpose in their life and they'll trust God, I believe there's no telling what God's going to do with them. No telling. There's not only the purpose that's found among his brethren and the purpose in the battle, but the Lord showed me this. Every child of God will find his purpose, listen to me carefully, in the Bible. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's only one place in this world that your mind will be renewed. It's in that book that we call the Bible. You should never look for God's purpose in your life outside of the Bible. You should look for it in the Bible. Let God direct your heart into the Word of God. That's what Paul prayed. Direct your heart into those things by faith which are not seen, into the Word of God. Now let me say something real quick. I didn't plan on saying it, but I'm just going to say it. We're living in a generation, there may not be one example of it in our church, but there may be. I don't know of it, but God's having me to say something right here. We're living in a generation, Brother Lance, when God puts his hand on a young person, mom and dad, instead of pouring gas on it, it's putting the brakes on it. Son, we don't want you to be a preacher. You'll starve to death. Let me ask you something. Do I look like I'm starving to death? Oh, you say, you could have a business. We heard a man testify the other night, Brother Aaron's brother, how he got in the business world, got his eyes off of Jesus, got out there and got in trouble and ended up in jail over it. Get your eyes off of Jesus. There's no telling where you'll end up. But if we'll look unto Jesus, God can use us. So he positioned himself to be used of God. He found a purpose in being used of God. Let me give you this last thing and I'm done. If you just got excited, you're visiting. And that is this. There was a power. David possessed a power that Eliab did not possess, that Goliath did not possess. Brother Steve, that the king of Israel, that Saul, did not possess. David had a power on his life. You say, preacher, why would you magnify that? Okay, let me just ask this question. We're not going to bow heads and close eyes. How many of you, you say, preacher, I'm being honest now. There's something in my life that's like a giant. Something that I battle. Is there anybody here this morning say, yeah, okay. Okay. It's like a giant. Well, the mistake would be to think that you can beat the giant by yourself. You'll never win against the giant without God's power. And by the way, when I said that, if the adults in the room would have been honest, there'd have been a whole lot, if not all, the hands went up right there too. We all got these giants. those giants don't like us. They don't love us. They hate us. They want to destroy us. But with God's help and God's power, we don't have to lose to the giant. We can win this battle. You say, preacher, what do you mean God's power? Well, if you look in verse number, let me see here. In verse number 34, we see the power of God on David's life. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Now watch this. I don't know about you young people, but I mean, I'm just thinking now, Matthew, if I'm over a bunch of sheep and that lion only gets one and he takes it away, I'm kind of thinking I could find an excuse. I better just stay here and guard the sheep. But that ain't what David did. Brother Ike, he went out there. Glory to God. That's just like Jesus. He going after that one that's in trouble. Well, how many blows? We got Bible for that. Say amen. He's going after that one that's in trouble, that's in the jaw of the lion, in the paw of the bear. He goes out, Brother Thurman. Says, you ain't leaving here without me. I'm your shepherd. I'm going to bring you back. And the word of God said here, you see the power of God on David's life. The Bible said, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, that David had the power of God on his life. It's a mistake to think that youth cannot have the power of God on their life. They can have the power of God on their life. God's power. The Bible said in verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Whatever that giant is this morning, only God can deliver you. Some of y'all didn't raise your hand a while ago. Now listen, it may not be true across the board, but I tell you what is true. Some people don't raise their hand because of their pride. There's a giant there. You know it's there. God knows it's there, and the devil knows it's there. But that pride will make you just, oh, I don't have any giants in my life. Let me just say something to you. You may not realize this. Pride's a giant. Laziness, Brother Steve, is a giant. My daddy used to have a word for laziness. It's kind of an old-fashioned word, sorriness. Daddy'd say some people wouldn't take a job in a pie factory tasting pies. They're sorry. That's what Daddy would say as he worked from 6, 7 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock at night trying to raise 6 kids. 2 jobs, most weekends. Most Sundays. I'm telling you, beloved, there's some giants, but we cannot. I said we cannot. I said we cannot handle the giants. How many of you all are aware enough of what's going on in the world to realize, listen to me carefully, that there's a different set of giants for this generation than there was for our generation? How they need our prayers. How they need somebody when the giant gets the upper hand to come alongside and not say, I want you to look, but come alongside and say, you know, honey, it's only the grace of God that didn't happen to me. Or maybe come alongside and say, I was where you were at one time, but God delivered me. And he'll deliver you. Beloved friend, this morning, what God wants us to see is a power. We can't do it on our own. This power has to do with someone's faith. David trusted God. It had to do with something that's fitting. I'm trying to close. Let me just give you a couple things quickly. You remember Saul said, now, well, if you're going to go, he finally knew that David's mind was made up. If you're going to go, here, take my armor. Remember that? And David said, I can't. I've not proved that. Ain't that right, Brother Thurman? It don't fit. I mean, Saul was a lot bigger man than David was. And let me tell you something that a lot of moms and dads, as well as young people, a mistake they make. They're a child of God and they're trying to wear something that don't fit. Brother John said, lay aside the weight. The Bible did. He was quoting it this morning. And the sin that does so easily beset us. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. There are some things that are not becoming of a child of God in this world. Amen. And if it don't fit, we ought to lay it off. Let the devil's youngins wear it. Say amen. And we ought to wear, beloved, listen, the armor of God and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to do with someone fighting. David said, I'm going to fight this giant. I'm not going to give in. And it has to do with someone's future. If you will look at it with me, please. Go down to verse number 46. David said to the giant, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I'll smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth. Look at that next phrase. Somebody read that with me. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Sydney, I'm picking on you this morning just because I can remember your name, honey. Is there anybody in your family that ain't saved? They need to know there's a God in Sydney's life, don't they? In Sydney's family. Rachel, what about you, honey? Is there anybody? And what God is saying to us here, the devil say, you're but a youth. There may be somebody down there at the school or the college that says you're but a youth. There may be even somebody, beloved, on the job. They're just a youth. What do they know? I'm going to tell you something right now. If you know Jesus, you know more than this world knows. This world don't know Jesus. And God wants to use these young people. Brother Justin, if I ain't around, do you pray that somebody will preach a message similar to this to that little boy? That little girl when they grow up. You say, preacher, why'd you say it like that? Because it took me a second to think of Landon and Claire's name. Is that okay? I used to turn red over stuff like that. When you get where I'm at, amen, Brother Don, you don't turn red anymore. You just thank God you got anything left. Amen. Our young people are precious. They're important. Where'd Camden go? I don't see him. There you are, buddy, right in front of me. You believe God has something special for your life? I do too, buddy. Amen. I do too. How many of you all believe God has a plan for your life? You believe God has a plan for your life. What should be the most important thing, Connor, in your life? Finding that plan and doing it. Finding what God wants you to do. Young ladies, find that plan and do it. I tell young ladies all the time, they used to use a term, they'd say, they'd look at a man and say, he's a hunk. I knew they could relate to this. He's a hunk. You know what I tell them? Raise the hood. Because he might be a hunk of junk. You better ask God to give you a little bit of insight into his heart. Amen. Guys, it goes the same way. Matter of fact, men are even worse to go on what they see. That's just the way God made us. Say amen.
Amen.
You say, preacher, why do so many marriages end in divorce? Now, I don't know about all of them, but I know why a lot of them do. Because it started out based on lust instead of love. I'm telling you, there's more than what you see on the outside. God will help us if we'll look to Him. How many of you old people are glad you come this morning? Not one person over here raised their hand, Brother Steve. They're not old. Aren't you glad they know that, brother? Amen. How many of you young people are glad you came this morning? You're glad you came, Hannah. God has a will for your life. He has a purpose for your life. What I'm going to ask you to do this morning, Sister Becky, you back there, Brother Ralph, get us a song.